Amen. Well, thank the Lord for His blessings on us. The Lord certainly answered a prayer for us this week, and we thanking the Lord just all week, and giving God the praise. And I'm glad He's a prayer answering God. You know, we pray and pray and pray, and it seems like no answer comes. But, you know, it's what God really is doing inside of us is the greatest thing that happens in that altar of prayer. Lord gave me a message here recently. I've been preaching about that widow woman that Christ told about. And He spake that parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint.
Right.
And I could just picture in my mind the first time that little widow come to that judge. I would say, Brother Jeff, she was devastated when she left there. She'd never been so rudely treated. She had never had her feelings so broken, so hurt. I mean, she's just devastated. She's crying all the way home. She made up her mind when she got home. You know, she just as soon as she left out of there, I'm never coming back before this judge again. I'm never going to. But some way or another, in the process of time, however often it was, the court was in session, courage rose back up in her heart. Something happened inside of that widow woman, and she kept coming.
Right.
And that judge, he could tell something about that widow. He could see there's more assurance in her voice. There's more determination in her steps. There's more fire in her eyes.
Right.
There's something that was happening inside of that widow woman. And I tell you, that's the greatest thing that God does in prayer, is what He does inside of us. Keeps us praying. He keeps us coming back. You know, it's not that the Lord's playing games with His people, but it's just the perfecting of Christian character that takes place, and the perfecting of our faith in the process. We continually come to that altar. Ephesians chapter 5, I want to read this morning, preaching that, but book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Verses 17 and 18, I'd like to read here this morning. Go ahead and read the scripture. I don't want to keep you standing. Hear a little testimony. We'll go ahead and read the Word of God. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18, He said, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." May the Lord bless you, bless His Word, our hearts. You can be seated. I'd like to share recently, a few weeks ago, I believe it was the second week of the year, was out in Louisiana, had to run out that way, and coming through a little town called Eunice, Louisiana, somewhere between 5 and 5:30 in the morning, which is still dark at that time of the morning, and they're on Central Time, and had to head to Divider, Texas. They were getting unprecedented rainfall. I mean, record-breaking rainfall. The pastor's father told me later, he said, I've never seen, or he couldn't remember seeing that much rain before. And his mother, she said, I've never seen this much rain in my life. And they're older people. Older than I am, at least, I'll put it that way. But, I'm coming through the middle of Eunice, Louisiana, on a main highway, Highway 13, within probably a quarter of a mile of Highway 190, another major highway. I've been advised by one of the men of the church. He said, the way I normally went, he said, I wouldn't go that way. He said, there's low spots in the road, and it wouldn't be wise to go that way, so I'm trying to stay on the main highway. And all of a sudden, couldn't see that far in front of me. All of a sudden, I'm in the middle of what looked like a creek. Without a paddle, Brother Jeff. Just drove as far as I could. Lord, help me. God, have mercy on me. And finally drowned the car out. So I'm sitting there in what looks like the middle of a creek, water eventually running in the floorboard, running over my shoes there. What do you do? That time of the morning, dial 911. So I called 911, and they got the police on the phone. I guess they're able with my phone, how modern technology the GPS, they can locate you. Oh, okay, sure, we see where you're at. And just hold on, when the water recedes, we'll come pull you out. You know, you get washed on down the creek there somewhere, we'll pull you out. And that's about the way it was. But thank God for one of them good old boys come riding by in his big pickup truck. And he said, sir, would you like for me to push you out? I said, that'd be wonderful. I'd appreciate that. He got behind me in his pickup truck and pushed me on up to a convenience store on through the water. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. I'm thankful. Amen. I called a pastor friend out there in Louisiana, Brother Gocho, and he sent his father and his brother up. And that way they was able to help me, take me and ride and able to get a rental car. Car's still out in Louisiana. We don't know the verdict exactly on it. I think it's going to be all right. But nevertheless, God knows it's been a good one. If it's over with, it's $375,000. So I can say, praise the Lord. It's been a good one. God certainly blessed me for that one. Amen. But I want to read, or rather preach this morning out of verse number 18. He tells us in verse 17 to be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Right.
I want to do God's will as much as possible. And of course, he explains to us in verse 18 what his will is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's God's will, is for you and I to be filled with the Spirit. I want to preach to us this morning about the Spirit-filled life. The Spirit-filled life. This word, or this term, rather, be filled, it is in the present passive imperative tense. It carries the meaning in the Greek of repeatedly being filled. Repeatedly being filled. Not that I got filled 20 years ago. There's a lot of people today, you know, they can tell you, oh, I got filled 20 years ago. I can take you to the place. That's wonderful. We don't take anything away from anybody's experience.
Right.
But you know, they got filled 20 years ago, but they've been warm in a bench for 20 years. I mean, they've been dry as cracker juice, as they say, dead as a doornail for 20 years, talking about that experience they got. I talked and dug. I rolled in the floor. I had a vision. I was caught up to the third heaven. That's wonderful. But what about today? Amen. It's not what I got 20 years ago, or not what I got last year or last month. Folks can backslide, I'm telling you, in a hurry. It's amazing how quick people can backslide. I mean, you have a revival, they get saved. I'm telling you, run all over the church, jump the benches. I'm telling you, talking in tongues, swinging from the chandeliers. You come back the next revival. Well, they're not in here anymore. They backslid. Somebody called them a holy roller. I mean, you know, on and on it goes. It's not what I got last year, but what have I got right now? Amen. This is an up-to-date experience. The Spirit-filled life. I really believe that the apostle has in mind the idea of control. You know, a person gets good and drunk, that strong drink has control over that individual. If it's wine, if it's whiskey, if it's beer, whatever it is, that alcoholic beverage, gets control of them. If they're good and drunk, it controls their thinking. It controls their vision. It controls their speech. Man, just talking like a fool. I'm telling you, you ought to hurt yourself. I mean, oh no, I wouldn't say that. Well, they're under the influence of that strong drink. It controls their actions. It controls their walk. Everything about them, if they're really drunk, they're really under the influence of that strong drink, it controls everything about them. That officer, you know, he gets them out of the car. Sir, we want you to walk this white line. Notice he's weaving, coming down the road. All right, walk this white line. He gets out there and takes a step or two, you know. He falls down, gets back up. He wobbles around, takes a few more steps. He falls down again. This time he can't get up. You know, the officer walks over to him and says, now, sir, we want to put these nice little bracelets on you. Want you to come down and spend the night with us tonight. He's drunk, you see.
Bless the Lord.
And that's the idea, by the way, we understand, according to the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter, drunkenness is one of the works of the flesh. Amen. I believe you could put any of the works of the flesh in here. Be not an adulterer. Be not an idolater. Be not a murderer. Be not filled with hatred. I mean, just any of the works of the flesh. He does not want them controlling us, but He wants us to be so filled with the Spirit of God that the Holy Ghost controls us. I believe that's what the Holy Ghost has come to do in the believer, is to control us. Three areas of control that I want to talk to us specifically about this morning. Amen. He wants to control our thinking. He wants to control our emotions, our desires, and He wants to control our will. Even the Holy Ghost has come to be, in the believer, the mind of God, the emotions of God, and the will of God, producing a people that will think God's thoughts, that will desire what He desires, and that will be governed by the will of God. If we can get a hold of this morning, I believe it will revolutionize our life. Even it'll make a 180, as Brother Jeff was talking about. I enjoyed that Sunday school lesson. You can't go to sleep with a Sunday school teacher like that, can you? I mean, he is so animated. I love Brother Jeff and his Sunday school teaching. We enjoyed that. We wasn't laughing at him. We was laughing with him this morning. Praise God. But notice in the scripture, talking about repeatedly being filled. You know, one fellow said, and I believe he said it right, it's not so much a perpetual fullness that we are continually full all the time, but it is a perpetual or continually being filled. And that's the way it is in this Christian walk. I mean, there's a lot of things that empty us out. There's a lot of things that drain us, in this world that we live in. But He wants us. I got filled yesterday morning. Oh, but I woke up this morning and got refilled again. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. To continually be filled. I want you to notice in the book of Acts that bears out this great truth. Amen. And the fact, that's what the apostle was talking about here in Ephesians 5:18. Of repeatedly being filled. Where we find in Acts 2, verse number 4, on that great day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with other tongues, as Brother Peter went around, tickled them all under the chin, and said, repeat after me. Even say Coca-Cola. Say it a little bit faster. A little faster. Oh, and you get lose control of your tongue, and they say, you got it. You know, folks are doing such nonsense as that.
That's right, brother. Come on.
But they began to speak with other tongues, the Bible said, as the Spirit gave them the utterance. I like what that old preacher said. He said, when I ordered these shoes, because we don't have to order them now, he said, the tongues come with them. Amen. Said, I didn't have to order. He said, now send me a pair of tongues with it. No, sir, the tongues come with them. And when you get filled with this wonderful Holy Ghost, that's a part of the equipment. Tongues comes with it. There will be a witness from another world. Amen. He shall testify of me. He shall glorify me, Christ said.
Yes, amen.
Well, we read on in the book of Acts, they got filled on the day of Pentecost, the second chapter. We read on over in the fourth chapter, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
There he was again. Amen. Well, they threatened him. Don't go preaching, don't go teaching anymore in this name. But being let go, they assembled themselves together. And in a great prayer meeting, the Bible said, this was where Joel, my son, here recently, on his mother's birthday, November the 3rd, back last year, amen, he went to his bedroom. I mean, on a Friday night, we have a new service. And he got to praying. And I mean, just under the influence of the Holy Ghost, rolling in the floor, kicked his boot off. We prayed with him a long time. We got home that night. He told me and his mother before we went to bed, said, I still feel the Holy Ghost on me. Still feel the Spirit on me.
Come on, brother.
He went to his bedroom the next day on a Saturday, November 3rd. He said he got to reading Acts 4:31, evidently, in that fourth chapter. And the Bible said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
spake with other tongue as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Oh, they spake the word of God, I'm sorry, with boldness. Amen. Didn't say they spoke with tongues, but they spoke the word of God with boldness. He said, I read that, and he got to praying, and God filled Joel with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Well, I read on in the book of Acts, the 6th chapter, they're having a problem in that early church, you know. There's a division, the Grecians, the Hebrews. They're murmuring, they're complaining against one another. Because they, y'all ain't treating grandma right, I'm telling you. We're going down the road, we're going to start us another church. We ain't putting up with this. I mean, Aunt Susie's hadn't been getting her collection. Amen. And they're on the verge of a church split. But those spiritual men of God, those praying men, they saw, we've got a Holy Ghost operation here. Thank God for the multi-million-dollar businessmen, but we've got a Holy Ghost operation. And the qualifications, if you're going to run God's business, were, amen, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Amen. That's Acts 6:3. Well, one of the first 7 deacons were Stephen. The Bible said a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Full of the Holy Ghost. Well, not only was Stephen one of the first 7 deacons, he was also the first Christian martyr, according to Acts 7:55. I mean, there Stephen had preached that great sermon, had brought conviction on that unbelieving religious crowd, and they began to gnash on him like a pack of wild dogs. But he being full, the Bible said, Acts 7:55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Yes, sir. Full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We read on Acts 9:17. This was a conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus. And here Ananias, God sent Ananias to go pray for him. Amen. That he would receive his sight. And the Bible said, Acts 9:17, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he laid his hands on Brother Saul. Amen. And God opened his eyes and filled him with the Holy Ghost, evidently. Acts 11:24, the Bible talked about a man by the name of Barnabas, said, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Amen. Then Acts 13:9, even the reason he must have been filled, because Acts 13:9 says, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. There he is, filled with the Holy Ghost. Then I read on one more verse, Acts 13:52. This is where they expelled Paul and Barnabas out of their coast. We don't want you preaching around here. I mean, just turn them out. Amen. Send them down the road. We don't want to hear this gospel preached. But the Bible said, Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Well, I mean, you see that there in the Scripture. They're repeatedly being filled. They're repeatedly being filled with the Holy Ghost. Got filled, but then refilled again. And that's the meaning here, according to those that know the Greek language, and we know according to the way it is used in the Bible. We know that's right. Amen. Don't know Greek. But I'm just taking their word for it, and certainly the Scripture bears out the fact that it's so. But this is the thought, the Spirit-filled life. He wants to control us, even the control of the Holy Ghost over our lives. He comes to control us, but if He can control my thinking, brother, I mean, I'm not able to play this piano like my lovely daughter played up here this morning. I don't have that ability. You know, it's in the mind. You know, she took a lot of lessons. I took her a lot of time. Of course, she's got a natural ability, an ear for music. Well, the ability to play that piano is in the mind.
Right, Mom.
And if we've got the mind of God, we can do the will of God and the works of God. I mean, that man full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible talked about Saul, who's also called Paul. They were in a certain place. A man by the name of
of Sergius Paulus. He was a deputy, and his heart is open. He's wanting to hear the gospel. I mean, he's interested in the message of Christ. And here's Paul and Barnabas. They've come to bring this message, but there's a man by the name of Elymas. He's a sorcerer. He's there to withstand them. He's opposing the work of God. And I'm telling you, this man full of the Holy Ghost, he just looked at him. He said, "Oh, thou child of the devil, full of all subtlety." He said, "How long will you continue to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" And he told him, how did he know this? Amen. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's thinking God's thoughts. He's speaking God's words. Amen. All of a sudden, he said, "The hand of the Lord's upon you. You're going to be blind for a season." Amen. Not seeing the light. What happened? Amen. The mist of darkness settled upon him. God smote him with blindness, and he's walking about trying to find somebody to lead him by the hand. I'm telling you, he's full of the Holy Ghost. He thought God's thoughts. I remember about 7 years ago, I mean, after I got saved, we'd heard about this guy, you know, and I was kind of interested, kind of like what I heard. I went to hear him down in Montgomery, Alabama, the Civic Center. Oh, he had it all planned out, you know. I mean, he'd walk around, he'd preach a little bit, and he'd walk around and he'd say, "All right, over here, this fellow in the striped shirt on the second row, yeah, he's got a belly ache. You know, is that right, brother?" "Yeah." "All right, come on. We won't pray for you. God heal him of his belly ache." And this fellow over here on the second row with this black suit on with a blue tie, even he stubbed his toe this morning. "If we want him to come, we're going to pray for him." I mean, just right down the line, whatever it was. I'm just using these fellows for an example. I mean, he had it all figured out. Evidently had a little earpiece, you know. There's a fellow in the back, he's reading a card. He'd have him fill out a card, you know. They needed prayer, and this is what they wanted prayer for. I mean, sure enough, that's the way he operated. That wasn't God. That's just a bunch of psychology playing mind games with people. And I'm talking about a man full of the Holy Ghost. He could only know those things because God revealed them to him. If I'm going to think God's thoughts, amen, I tell you, he wants us to be so filled with the Spirit of God. Not a bunch of witchcraft. Amen. Not a bunch of soothsaying. Amen. Mind reading. I'm talking about, amen, speaking the words of God. If I'm going to think God's thoughts, I've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, the book of Colossians is a companion book to the book of Ephesians. Here in Ephesians 5:18, he says, "Be filled with the Spirit." But in Colossians 3 and verse 16, he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." He said, "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, speaking with grace," or teaching with grace, "in your hearts to the Lord." Yes, sir. Amen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God, even if my mind is going to be controlled by God, I've got to think, I've got to get God's word in my mind, in my heart, even to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be controlled by His thoughts. There's contending voices. Do you know that? We all are aware of that. That devil puts thoughts in your mind. How does the devil discourage? How does the devil defeat people? There's a contending voice. That devil's always out working. Amen. That's why the Bible said, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Yes, sir. You got to do that. Amen. The Holy Ghost has come. I'm telling you, He has come to be in the believer the mind of God, to control our thinking. And I'm not going to think God's thoughts if I don't ever read His Word. Amen. I can tell this morning, Brother Jeff's been reading that Bible. Could you tell that? It's kind of evident. He told us this morning, but you can tell in His teaching. Amen. There's Scripture flowing out. Amen. Something coming out of that heart. He wants us, Brother Jeff, to be so filled with the Holy Ghost that the Word of God, it dwells in our hearts richly. I read about those men of God, those early apostles there in the 6th chapter of Acts. That verse has always challenged my heart. They said that we will give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and to prayer. Amen. We're not going to run about serving tables. Amen. We're going to get some Holy Ghost filled men to take care of this. But we're going to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word of God. Amen. What happened? The number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. God blessed. God prospered the work of God, the word of God, and the work of God, because these men gave themselves to prayer.
That's right.
To the ministry of the word. Yes, sir. It takes an altar. If I'm going to stay full of the Holy Ghost, you can't live a prayerless life. Never pray, never open up the Bible. It's not going to happen. Oh yeah, won't someone want to come around and prophesy? I heard that old, that great old preacher. He said, you know, even if don't hardly darken the door of the church, won't pay their tithes, then they want to come prophesy. He said, no, sir, you sit down over there and hush. Amen. I ain't got time to listen to nothing you got to say. You won't obey the written word of God? You don't have a word from God. Amen. I'm telling you, if I'm going to think God's thoughts, I'm going to have to listen to what God's got to say. I mean, if there's condemning voices you and I deal with, what about Christ out there in that wilderness? I mean, here comes that devil. If thou be the Son of God. You lying devil, you know he's the Son of God. He didn't have to get faith. I'm sorry. He didn't have to get faith to believe he's the Son of God. He knows he's the Son of God. Amen. I need to do away with that nonsense. That was a wrong idea to come up with that. He didn't have to get faith. He knows he's the Son of God. Amen. That devil come lying. Amen. You know that contending voice. He didn't argue with him. He could have told him, listen here, devil. You know I'm a Son of God. You get on down the road, you lying devil, you. But he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. I mean, after 3 rounds of the Word of God, that devil walked away. Amen. Left him for a season. Yes, sir. If we're going to overcome, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we too must be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And let the Word of God dwell in us richly.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
The Holy Ghost is the mind of God.
That's right.
I'm not a mind reader this morning. I gave you that example. I mean, I can't look out here and say, oh, I know this is a man here by the name of Joel Grabley, and he lives at 161 Mason Mill Road, Danielsville, Georgia, 30633. Is that right, sir? No, I got that mixed up. That's my address. No, sir. I mean, I'm not a mind reader. I don't know what's in his mind. I don't know the thoughts he's thinking. I don't know the thoughts of his heart. Oh, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost knows the mind of God. Amen. I have not seen, the ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But the next verse said, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He said, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. He said, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know the thoughts you're thinking. Oh, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, he knows the mind of God. And he'll reveal that mind to us if we'll get full of the Holy Ghost. I did. We've got the written mind of God in the Word of God. But sometimes we need specifics, don't we?
Yes, brother.
Sometimes we need a specific word from God about their direction in our life. I'm telling you, he's come to be in the believer.
Right.
He wants, we can get a hold of this morning. I'm telling you, to revolutionize our life. Can you see the idea of control? Drunkenness, a man full of the Holy Ghost. That man drunk, he's got control of him. He's good and drunk, in control. His thinking is being controlled by that strong drink. He wants us to be so full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that our thinking is controlled by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Think his thoughts. Oh, yes, sir, that I can speak his word. That's very important to me. I'm telling you, I don't want to just come up here and give you a book report. I want to have a word from God. I've heard from heaven. Oh, the king asked the great prophet Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord. Yes, sir. King, I've got a word from God. I'm telling you, I've heard from heaven. It ain't going to be what you want to hear. And he had a word from God. He had a, thus saith the Lord. That's what this world's looking for. I heard that great old preacher said in a prayer meeting. He said they'd have prayer meeting in his church from 5 to 7. 5 days a week. 5 in the morning. 7 o'clock in the morning. 5 days a week. He said one of the most educated men in the country. He was a professor at a college there in that town. He said he'd come in that prayer meeting. He said, over there talking in tongues. I mean, in the, you know, just law, in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. And he said, in that wonderful prayer meeting, he said, but I asked him. He said, there's a one of our bishops, you know, in that particular denomination. He said, our preachers need to be more educated. He was really pushing those, all the preachers, to go back to college, to get a college education. Oh, and he said, he asked that educated professor. He said, I know sometime, professor, that I butcher the King's English. He said, does that bother you? He said, oh, pastor, said, I don't come to get an English lesson. I come to hear from God. Hallelujah. I come to hear a word from God. Oh, that's what this world's looking for. In this world of make-believe, in this world of put on and sham and hypocrisy, I'm telling you, the world is hungry, Sister Cap, for somebody genuine, somebody that knows this God, somebody that walks with Him, somebody that's got a personal relationship with Him. I need to hurry. I didn't mean to tear us along on that one point. I'm telling you, He's come to control our emotions. I mean, we're in a world that's so, their emotions and their desires are so out of whack. I mean, we drive into a town. I'm not throwing any stones at anybody on medication. Don't misunderstand me. Amen. I'm not throwing any stones at anybody, but we're in a drugged up society. You know that? I like what that old preacher said. Well, I don't know how old he is, but anyway, that preacher said, he said, in our day, he said, we didn't have Ritalin. He said, we had Red Rear End. Said, we didn't have the pill, we had the paddle. I'm telling you what, we'd do better off, we'd get back to that. I mean, I was in a store the other day, and they're patting that little baby around. She's screaming and running all over the place, and laying down on the floor, pitching a fit. Oh, baby, baby. Yeah, you take care of, put that Board of Education on the seat of understanding and take care of some of that. I'm telling you. Amen. I mean, you know how it is with parents, and I'm sure as grandparents especially. You know, you don't want to, oh, we don't want to hurt that little darling. We don't want to, you know, mess up their poor self-image and all this kind of stuff. Oh, I'm talking about emotions. He's come to control our emotions. I mean, we're in a day, you got a Walgreens on this corner, a CVS over here, and a Rite Aid across the street. You know what I'm talking about? Just about every town you go into. Well, He's come to control our emotions. We're in a world, the Bible describes, they would be lovers of themselves. You think we're living in that kind of world? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Didn't he talk about in the end time, you wouldn't be able to buy or sell except you've got a mark in your right hand or your forehead, the mark or the number or the name of the beast. Revelation 13 tells us the name, the term name, that denotes character. I mean, the Bible said a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. So name in the Bible denotes character. Well, the name of the beast, that's the nature of the beast. That's the character of the beast. We're in a world, church, amen, the nature of the beast is already all over people. It's a dog-eat-dog world. So selfish, so self-centered. Amen, what's in it for me? I'm telling you, blow your brains out as soon as look at you. I mean, a man walk in a schoolroom and take the life of precious innocent children. How barbaric, how bestial can you get? You talk about brood beast, that nature. I'm telling you, the desires of people, so perverted, lovers of themselves. What is that bestial nature? What about old Leo out there in the jungle? You know, he's a king of the jungle. He sees that cute little kangaroo. He don't say, oh, how precious and it's sweet. I wouldn't hurt it for a thing in the world. That's mama's little pet. mama's little darling. No, sir. The nature of that beast is that's my dinner if I can catch him. Oh, he's mine. That's that bestial nature. And that's what we see very evident in the society. Same-sex marriage, abortion on demand, no regard for life. I mean, from the top man right on down, the leader of this great nation said, I'm evolving. My God, have mercy. Still evolving on the issue. Well, yeah, gonna put his approval on same-sex marriage and did do so. That bestial spirit, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost has come to control our emotions and our desires. We've all got desires. You know, I feel like I have a legitimate need right now. $375,000 on that little automobile. I've been praying for some time, I'll be honest with you, for another car. I've just been looking. We've been looking. Praying about it. I think that's a lawful, you know, man wants a better home. I think, you know, if that's lawful, legitimate, maybe man wants a better job, you know, making $2 an hour at KFC. They pay me $3.50 down at the plant. Man, let's go to the plant. Make a few more, you know, dollars an hour. Nothing wrong with that. Lawful desires, legitimate desires. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, He wants to so control us that we'll feel about things the way He feels about it. Paul talked about having continual heaviness, great heaviness, and continual sorrow. He said, I say the truth in my heart, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. And he went on talking about, he said, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He had a desire to see men saved, to see the lost rescued, amen, to see the sick healed, to see the kingdom of God established right here on this earth, to see revival come to the church. I tell you, if I'm going to desire, and the Holy Ghost is going to fill me and control my desires, I'm going to desire the things that Christ desires. I desire to see the lost saved, the backslider restored, the sick get healed, the devils be cast out, even the hungry be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. The church, our God, her hands lifted back up in encouragement and joy and in victory, even revival to come to the house of God one more time. God to rend the heavens and the Holy Ghost to fall like rain. If I desire the things that God desires, that's what I'm going to desire. Amen. I mean, the Bible talked about Christ. He looked out over that multitude. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. What happened? The Bible said He's moved with compassion. He sees the hurting, broken hearts of men. He sees the troubled souls and minds of humanity. And His heart is touched. His soul is moved with compassion. Amen. What did He do? He went about healing. He went about rescuing and restoring. He had a desire to do so. If I'm going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, this wonderful Holy Ghost controls my desires, I'm going to desire the things that God desires.
Amen.
Moving right along, last of all, He's come to control our will. We are a product this morning of our will. Brother Jeff brought it out so wonderfully this morning in the Sunday school lesson, Brother Colas. He said, you know, people, I invite them to come to church. Well, I'll try to get out of bed. I'll try to see if I can get my clothes on. Didn't have no problem come Monday morning, though, did they? Rolling out of bed and going on down to work. Amen. Because they want that paycheck on Friday. Yes, sir. Little motivation there. Oh, we're a product of our wills, a point I'm emphasizing. I am what I will to be. God never forced me against my will. Amen. We are, you know, we make choices in life. We choose to serve God. We choose to serve His, to do His will. Amen. I am a product this morning of my will. The choices that I've made in life. God never grabbed me by the arm, held me a gun to my head, or sent a preacher to do so. All right, now boy, you get down to that altar, and I mean, you better pray. None of this crocodile tears, and none of this in and out, up and down business. I'm telling you, you better pray through. We fixing to send you to your long home. Amen. He never done us like that, did He? He just says, give me your heart. He just says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll show you a better way to live. I'll I'll show you a life of joy and peace. Amen. In the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I've got a will. And the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, even the Spirit-filled life, He wants to control my thinking. I think God's thoughts, control my desires, and I'll desire His desires, and to govern my will. Amen. That I'll do the will of God. Listen to the psalmist. He said, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You don't have to run around a man like that with a rule book saying we're going to turn you out of the church. With that, you're breaking the rules. No, sir. You won't have any problem with a man like that because he delights to do God's will. That's a man governed by the will of God. That's a man governed by the will of God. Yes, sir. The Holy Ghost comes to govern our will.
That's right.
Amen. To be governed by the will of God is working in us. I love this verse. Philippians 2, verse 13, the 12th verse, he said, the latter part, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Old fellow wrote the song years ago. I don't know if it's a gospel song or not. I suppose it was. Then me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out.
That's right.
We don't need nobody to tell us what it's all about. You know, we don't need no preacher trying to tell us how to live. I guess is what he was saying. Amen. Well, the next verse said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
That's right.
Yes, sir. You know what? How that works out. I was lost. I was a sinner. Amen. But something got a hold of my heart. God began to work in me. You know what He done? I said, oh God, I don't like the way I'm living. I don't like who I am. I want to get saved. How was God working His will in me? He put the desire in my heart. He'll give us both the desire and the power to do His will if we'll yield to Him. If we'll yield, that's the key. He don't make us do anything. Oh, the possibility in a life even controlled by the Spirit of God. That man Smith Wigglesworth, I guess one of the closest, next to the Apostle Paul perhaps in modern time, Smith Wigglesworth, what I've read, what I've heard about the man. He said, when God said, when I filled you with the Holy Ghost, said you'd receive power. He said, I just believe what God said. I just believe what He filled me with the Holy Ghost. I got power. Oh, a man full of God. He didn't want him to bring a newspaper in his home. You say, that's radical. I know it is. But he's a man raised several dead folk from to life. Amen. He's a man that saw the sick get healed. Oh, saw miracles happen. Thank God. The Holy Ghost can work through him. Why? Because he's governed by the will of God. Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost said, turn left, he turned left. Turn right, he went right. Go straight, he went straight. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost knows the twists and the turns in the road of the life. He knows what's around the next corner. He knows what's over the next hill. He knows the twists and turns in this great road of life. If I've ever needed to be led by the Spirit of God, I need to be led by Him this morning. Listen to this, Acts 13 and 4, the Bible says, sent forth by the Holy Ghost. That's Barnabas and Saul being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. I mean, the Holy Ghost sent them out. Go. But then I read Acts 16, verse 6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. No, I'm preaching now. And Holy Ghost sent them forth on one occasion, forbid them one another. They're led by the Spirit. They've done the will of God. They've done what the Holy Ghost told them. Listen to what Peter said. He said, we are His witnesses of these things. And he said, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. I mean, if you got filled with the Holy Ghost, God spoke to you perhaps. Maybe go in your room, read your Bible, and pray, and I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. And one fella, he said, the Lord spoke, take your shoes off. Oh, that's foolish. I think I lost my mind. Take my shoes off. Yeah, take your shoes off. God filled him. Amen. Get up. Go over there and lay your hands on your brother and pray for him. There's one couple at Brother Don Ingram's. We were there a few years ago. I mean, they backslid, got back in church. God spoke to them. They're needing to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Go pray for your enemy. I mean, they'd had problems with these people in church. Go pray for them. Oh, that'd be hard to do, I'm telling you. They wouldn't done it. Laid their hands on prayer. God filled them while they was praying. While they was praying, God filled them with the Holy Ghost. The point I'm emphasizing, that act of obedience, it brought the initial blessing. And I'm telling you, this is a life of obedience. I'm not going to be full of the Holy Ghost if I won't pray. Amen. He said, men ought always to pray. I won't pray. I'm disobeying the Word of God. Amen. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. I'm trying to do it. I'm not going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Never read the Bible. Never spend time in the Word of God. Don't tell me I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I mean, I won't pay my tithes. Amen. I won't obey the written Word of God. I'm telling you, you can't walk and live a Spirit-filled life and you're disobeying the known will of God. Amen. Yeah. I've got to obey God. I've got to do His will. I've got to be controlled by Him. Amen. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm telling you, there's a pathway of victory. There's a pathway of power. There's a lifestyle. There's a way we can live. We can be what God would have us to be. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be overcome by the forces of hell, by the world, the flesh, and the devil. We can be what God would have us to be.
Amen.
Oh, just get filled with the Holy Ghost. Control my thinking. Control my emotions. Control my will. Amen. Think His thoughts. Desires, desires. Be governed by the will of God. I've done my best here this morning. I hope I've said something. The great preacher said, the power of the Holy Ghost lays in the ability to be led by Him. Amen. I won't obey Him. I won't. He's trying to lead me and I won't follow that leading. I'm not going to have any power with God. Obeying God. My own personal experience with my wife. Maybe come get us a song right quick and we'll come pray. My own personal experience here a little over 18 years ago, maybe closer to 18 and a half now, we're in a place of ministry, and we got word we're going to be leaving that place of ministry, and I'll be honest with you, I was devastated. I didn't know. I'd been seeking the Lord for direction. Couldn't find any direction. I didn't know. I thought maybe it's going to work out where we was at. Oh, I went to prayer, and I'll tell you, one of them desperate prayers. I've got to have an answer. I'm telling you, I got very desperate, got very earnest with God, got very sincere with God that night. It was July the 30th, 1994, when God spoke to me. I want you to resign your job. Amen. Step out. Evangelize. I'm telling you, I didn't have one revival scheduled. Nothing. I think I had one homecoming. I was supposed to preach. Just a step of faith. But then here about a year or so ago, well, not quite a year now, as a church, there's one of the deacons of that church called me and said, well, we're brought your name up for pastor. Well, I'll be praying about it, you know. He called me back later. We voted you in last night for pastor. Oh, I'll really be praying about it now. And just to make a long story as short as I possibly can, I went down there. I mean, you know, you're staring at four walls and, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Maybe this is God. I went down there and preached for them. I met with the deacons. We talked finances. First time I'd ever done that. I never talked to anybody about a price. They wanted me to, and I did. But I'm riding home, Brother Camps, after that service. They calling me pastor. I'm riding home that night, and it felt like a fish out of water. The Lord let me know this is not the place I want you. Not where I want you. It's forbidden of the Holy Ghost. I want to obey Him. I want to do His will. So as far as I know, I'm in the will of God this morning. Oh, I'm excited about being in His will. Glory to God. I don't know what's up ahead, but I know He does. I can just follow His leadership. Let Him let the Holy Ghost stay in the driver's seat. Let Him do the driving. Lead me where He wants me to go. Amen. The Bible did say that Christ, then the gospel says He was led of the Spirit, but Mark said He was driven of the Spirit. Amen. A little more forceful there. Sometimes I just like for him to take the wheel. Brother Isaac, let him do the driving. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord, don't you? Don't you want to be filled? And get refilled. And get refilled. Just keep getting refilled. The Holy Ghost will control everything about us. Our thinking, our emotions, our will. Amen. God bless you. Would you like to come this morning? Have a season of prayer around these altars.